I don't know about you, but I'm thankful God is here. I'm thankful that He is with us, that He promised never to leave us or forsake us, and that we can always count on Him to be there no matter what. I mean, through the good times, through the bad times, it's always tough. But the disciples were experiencing their own set of circumstances in the passage that we're going to read today. They were about to experience 3 days, possibly three of the worst days of their life. They're going to watch their friend be arrested, tried at night, unjustly, beat, ultimately crucified on a cross and put into the ground, and then spend the next few hours scared for their own lives because they didn't know what was about to happen. But today's message is on the road to the cross, and the subtitle is kind of, hey, before I go. You ever had somebody say that when they get ready to leave your house? And they go, oh yeah, before I go. And then they might have a really quick statement to say, or they might have another 30 minutes of whatever to teach you or to talk to you. And I think this was Jesus's, hey, before I go, I just got some things you need to know about me and about what's about to happen. So let's all stand this morning and read this passage together. And with keep in mind that Judas has left the building. They've just gotten done with the Lord with their, quote, Last Supper. Jesus telling them that His body's been broken, that His blood's been shed. And then this is what comes next. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I'll put His principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 21. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for this conversation that you had with the disciples to not only help them better understand what was kind of going to happen, but also to help us understand who you are and the mystery of the Trinity. That you are God and you are Son and you are Holy Spirit. You are one. Lord, help us just to put our faith and our trust in you. And may it give us the comfort that Jesus intended it to give to his disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The disciples have been with Jesus for about 3 years. They have been with him in the good times. They have seen him go through a few bad times. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him have little tiffs with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's had his disagreements with others. And they've seen how he's always come out on top. But Jesus, just before this, has told them that someone is going to betray him. And that it's his lot, if you will. It's his destiny to die on a cross for them. And when Judas leaves, I can only imagine the murmuring and the whispering that's going on. What's going to happen now? Is he going to go after him? You know, what's going to happen? And so Jesus starts out with these words, and they are extremely hard for me to read in the New International Version, because I memorized them in the King James. And so it's really tough sometimes when you memorize out of one. But Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I wasn't, I wouldn't have told you that I am." And he's trying to give his disciples some comfort. You see, Jesus was concerned about his friends. He knew, because he's God, he knew what they would be going through over the next few days. And he knew that they would be wondering what was going to happen to them. They were going to be scared for what was happening to him. Scripture tells us that his mom would be there. He knew what they would be, what at least one of them would be doing for his mother during this time. And I can only imagine what it had to be like for the disciples. But recently I've watched a couple of short clips about the crucifixion, and one of the things that stood out to me is the fact that his mom's there. And I cannot imagine what Mary must have been going through to see this little boy that had been born in such a magnificent way. Can't talk this morning. But to see this little one that came and to see the way that he leaves. I mean, the drastic difference in the way that he entered the world as opposed to the way that he's going to leave this world. And he was concerned for his friends and I think his family. When we talked about his family in Sunday school this morning, he had brothers, James, Simon, Joseph, and Judas. Not Iscariot, but another brother named Judas. And his brothers are there. And Jesus had sisters. And the family is possibly at this point. And he wanted them to know. He wanted these guys to know, specifically these 11 on this night. He wanted them to know what was happening. How this all was going to kind of play out. He says, "I'm going to the Father." I mean, he's basically telling them, "I'm going to die." It's interesting in this passage and in this part of where Jesus is talking to them that he doesn't talk about the fact that he's coming back in 3 days. He had talked about it before, but he doesn't give them that hope right now. They needed to be in the moment and understand what was happening. He also wanted them to understand his place. And when I say his place, I think Jesus wanted them to understand who he was in the grand scheme of things. He was God the Son. God the Father's up in heaven right now. God the Son's is here, and he's leaving, and then the Spirit of truth is coming. This is one of the first passages that we really see the Trinity all put together. And it's one of those foundational passages as to why we believe in the Trinity. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. And Spirit is capitalized there, so we know that's a name. And he wanted them and he needed them to feel secure in their place. That they were his disciples. And that this was going to happen to him. And he didn't say, this is going to happen to you. And yet, I know they were afraid. The Bible tells us that after he was crucified, they were afraid. In the garden when he's betrayed, they all scatter. Peter kind of follows from a distance to watch. But we don't hear about any other disciples there. John we hear about at the cross. But he's the only one that we hear about at the cross. Not that the others didn't care, but again, it's a scary time for these men. Some of them had families. It would be scary to think, what have I done? What kind of danger have I put my family in? And so he wanted them to feel secure in the fact that he was going, that he was going to prepare a place, but he was coming back. And then he makes this statement. He says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back so that you can be with me also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas says, we don't even know where you're going. How in the world can we know how to get there? And then Jesus, in his own way, explains how this relationship works. How this relationship with God works. You see, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way into this relationship. We have to accept Jesus as our Savior and begin to follow him. That's the way it works. You can't just say, I believe in God. You can't just say, well, I'm going to start going to church. You have to decide to be a follower of Jesus. And the first part of that is to accept that Jesus is the way. And that he is the truth. And that you can have eternal life through him. And so he explains to us that Jesus is the way. He also then says that love will fuel our actions. People go, well, what do you got to do to be a Christian? What are the rules? Or what do you got to do? Or what can't you do? And I try to tell people, and I'm not going to say it as kind of like I always say it, but there's, number one, when you decide to follow Jesus, you start reading the Bible. And you're going to find out that there's a lot of things that Jesus and that the apostles that have written the New Testament especially, you're going to see there's a lot of things that they want you to do. And so, don't ask yourself what you have to stop. Ask yourself what you need to start doing. Because there's a lot more do's than there are don'ts. And as we decide to really follow Jesus, we will show him that we love him by obeying his commands. Because the obedience is the confirmation that we have a relationship with Jesus. If someone says, well, I'm a Christian, but they don't have the fruits of following Jesus, not that I'm the judge, but and I'm not supposed to judge and I'm not going to, And I'll never judge anyone's salvation. But I may question, because the Bible says by their fruits you'll know them. So we're supposed to obey His commands. He says in verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And, you know, you say you love your spouse, you say you love your kids, you say you love your parents. You prove that by the way that you honor, respect, and obey them at times. So, obedience is the confirmation. And in this passage, Jesus is saying that. He's saying, if you love me, keep my commands. He says, anyone who loves me or anyone who's following me should be doing what I'm doing. So when we say we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we should look at what Jesus did while he was on there, the way that he cared about people, the way that he met people's physical needs, their spiritual needs, their emotional needs. We should be trying to live our lives in much the same way. And that all goes hand in hand in the relationship that he wants us to live. But he doesn't tell us all that, and then he doesn't tell his disciples all that and say, and I hope you do okay. He says, I'm going to send you somebody to help. He promises help. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to die on the cross and I'm going to heaven and you guys believe in me and if it works out, I'll see you later. He says, I'm going to send somebody to help you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will accompany us. Jesus said, He's with you and He's in you. So the Holy Spirit's role is two-part. He's going to accompany us. He's going to be there all the time. But He's not just going to be there. He's going to be with us. And He's going to be in us. And I wish I had the perfect example of that I could give you in a 30-second statement, but I don't. I can tell you this, though. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that when you decide to follow Jesus, I said the first thing that happens is the Holy Spirit supercharges your conscience. And you go from just knowing what's right and wrong to knowing what Jesus would do and what He wouldn't do. And that makes all the difference in the world as you start living your life for Jesus. Because He guides us and He corrects us. When He wants us to do something for Him, when He thinks there's something that we need to do that will enlighten somebody, help somebody find Him, be the hands and feet of Jesus, He's going to guide us there. There are times where you'll feel like doing something and you know that it has to be God, because if it were up to you, there's no way you would go do that or even have any desire to do that. So you know that has to be the Holy Spirit. And then there's going to be times when you're doing things and the Holy Spirit's going to probably at first tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, do you really think Jesus would do that? Do you really think Jesus would say that? Do you really think Jesus would act that way? And that nice little tap on the shoulder becomes a slap on the head, because we don't listen as closely sometimes as we should, and He really has to get our attention. The goal is to start learning easier instead of hard, you know, because I don't like it when the Holy Spirit takes the 2x4 out and gets my attention. I'd rather listen to the still small voice where He says, hey, that's not what you should be doing. But He's faithful to guide and correct us. And as I picture the disciples in the upper room, and they're just about ready to leave the upper room, and they're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's going to be another couple of teachable moments there. But this is the, hey, before I go, you need to know a couple things. You need to know that everything's going to be okay. That, yeah, this is going to happen, but I'm going to be with my Father. But I'm not leaving you in the lurch, and I'm not leaving you alone. You know how to have a relationship with me. We've been doing it. You believe in me, I'm the way. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when I leave, you need to be like me. You need to carry this on. We've been doing this for 3 years, and now it's your job to carry this on. And I think he tells us through this passage the same thing today. Your application this morning says this: Jesus made a pointed call for us to be different. He says, if you believe in me, you're supposed to be doing what I do. The question is, are we different? We've been called to be holy. We've been called to be set apart, sanctified, which means to be set aside for God's use. We don't have to be weird people. We don't have to be strange. But there should be something about us that people that don't know Jesus see that's different. I think it's probably one of the biggest problems I have with the church in America today. And I mean this seriously. It's hard to tell people that know Jesus from people that don't. In the past, they did it with the way they dressed or what they did on certain days. But I truly believe that we can be examples of who Jesus is, dressed like everybody else, maybe not like everybody else, but dressed modestly like everybody else, and doing the things that we know Jesus would do. Because Jesus stood out in a crowd where the Bible says he had nothing about him that made anybody, he had no form. I think the King James says he had no form or comeliness that anybody would desire him. It means he wasn't good looking. He didn't have a flashy way about him. It was the way he was that drew people to him. We need to be that way. Let's stand this morning. Jesus said that we could ask anything in his name and he would give it to us.